So we're going to look through the book of Jude, and we're going to slowly study it. Slowly but surely, we're going to get through it. The book of Jude is a very interesting book. It's a very powerful book. It's only one verse, but it has so much information in it that some people think it's just so, just overwhelming to understand it. Most people would probably understand the last two verses. Last two verses that only speak of God's glory. Now to Him be all the glory. Everything else in the middle seems to be a haze. And so I want us to study this wonderful book. Its main theme, if I were to have a title for this message, for this book, it would be the image of apostasy. The image of apostasy, how it looks like. Its main theme is apostasy. That's what this book is about. It's the apostates that are amongst the truth, that heard the truth, but are not changed by the truth. And so what is an apostate? What is that? Some of you might not even know what that is. This might be the first time hearing what the word apostate is. And so what it is someone, again, who heard the word of truth, but did not live by them. An example that Jesus said was, they heard, but did not understand. They seen, but did not perceive. And he got that from Isaiah. And that's written in Matthew 13, verses 14 and 15. So just like the Pharisees, they were living in Israel, hearing what Jesus spoke, you would think that the very words of God, Christ, would change them. But their hearts were so hardened, they were so against Christ and everything that He was, that they did not be changed. And so it is living amongst the truth and not receiving it. If we read verse 4, it says, they crept in unnoticed. That tells me that they're with the believers. They crept in, so they're amongst them. So that's the most dangerous thing about apostates, is that they don't fight from outside, but they are from amongst, they're from inside. Just like a virus, it comes in and it destroys you from the inside. And that's what apostates are. And who are they? How do we know who they are? What's their image? Jesus says, you will know them by their words, by their profession, by their career, by their fruits. You will know them by their fruits. It is not by what they profess or what they say. Because if we read in Titus chapter 1, verse 16, it says, they profess to know God, but in works they deny Him. So it really means nothing about what a person professes. It's all about the fruits, the things that He gives forth. Also, Jesus also said, the outflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so by fruits we'll know them. And just to mention a few fruits that they give out from this epistle, they are ungodly, which Enoch mentions, I believe, four times. He gets carried away with the word ungodly because that is what they are. They are ungodly. Their morality is perverted. They are rebellious. They are dreamers. They are ignorant and so forth. But most importantly, they are without the Spirit. That is what apostasy is. They are without God's Spirit. They are without the Spirit and live in the flesh, fulfilling their evil desires. They cannot contain their flesh. That is what it is. The fruits of the Spirit, the last fruits in Galatians chapter 5, if you notice that it's self-control. They do not have that. They cannot control their flesh. They do what feels naturally right. And so we also read, what is their agenda? What is an apostate's agenda? If you read in verse 4, it says, ungodly men who turn the grace of God into lewdness. That is what their agenda is, to turn the grace of God into lewdness. They pervert God's grace. If we also turn to Romans chapter 6, verse 15, Apostle Paul says, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace. And then he says, certainly not. And that word, certainly not, is the strongest word used in the Greek for absolutely, by no means. It's just an impossibility. You cannot. Why not? And then he says, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are the ones slaves whom you obey, whether to sin leading to death, or righteousness, or obedience leading to righteousness? So their agenda is to pervert this grace by which we are saved, the believers. Ephesians chapter 2 says, by grace we are saved, that not of ourselves, but is a gift of God. We are saved by grace through faith. And yet they pervert this. They pervert this grace. And that is their agenda. What is their end? What is the end to their perversion? The end of their life? What is their end? In verse 4, we also read that they are marked out for their condemnation. Before they were even created, they were marked out for this condemnation. Verse 7 says, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. And then verse 11 says, woe to them. They are cursed. They are anathema. So before they're even cursed, before they're even living, or denying and perverting God's grace, they were marked out for that condemnation. What do we do as the believers, the body of Christ? What do we do? The first thing that we do is we fight using scriptures. We fight using scriptures. Notice that it says in verse 3, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith. That is the main verse in this letter, is to fight, contend earnestly for the faith. And that's what he's trying to tell us. Jude was initially trying to write of a celebration of our salvation. He says, beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting to contend for earnestly for the faith. So he wanted to write about salvation, but there was something else that the Holy Spirit was tugging him to write about, which was apostates, those who crept in and who tried to pervert God's truth. And so what do we do? First, we fight through scriptures. We fight through the scriptures. An example would be Apollos. In chapter 18 of Acts 24, we read that he was mighty in scriptures. That is something that we all believers should be, mighty in scriptures. And Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2 says, preach the word. Preach the word. And if you were to turn to 2 Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he says, preach the word. But then right after, he says, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. There will be a time when the believers will teach, they will preach, and those who are the apostates, they will not endure, they will hate the things that are taught, because they are completely against God, completely against the Spirit of God, because they do not have the Spirit. And so what do? Again, we fight through the scriptures. That is our battlefield, is the scriptures. Second thing, we build ourselves up in the faith. Notice verse 20 of Jude. It says, but you, beloved, build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. So we build ourselves up in the faith through prayer and repentance that leads on to eternal life. Verse 21, keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Looking unto the mercy of Jesus Christ. That mercy is repentance. When you repent, you see that mercy that's only in Jesus Christ. And that is what that repentance is. So we build ourselves up in faith, in prayer, and repentance. And then we have compassion. Compassion. Notice 22, verse 22. And on some have compassion, making a distinction. But others save with fear, pulling them out of fire, hating even the garments defiled by the flesh. Now that is a very strong statement. Hating even the garments defiled by the flesh. That means you are to have strong caution. Strong caution when you approach these people, because you know that they could easily drag you down, because you are also a man in the flesh, and you also get tempted in the flesh, and these men could pull you down easy. So you are to be extremely cautious, even hating their garments, hating even their clothing. So we are to fight with the Word of God. In Ephesians chapter 6, we see that the Word is the sword. The sword in the little diagram that he paints for us, the helmet of salvation, the sword of faith, the shield of faith, the sword is the Word of God. And that word, the sword, it's phrase. It's such precision to use the sword that you know every phrase in Scripture. You use it with such accuracy when you hear apostates preaching their deception. When you hear that you use the sword with such accuracy that you know exactly where to use it with the Word of God. You don't just take the sword and just swing it all over the place. It's a little sword that you know how to use accurately. And that's what Ephesians, the sword, means. And so we are to have compassion, hating even the garments. And it's a great way to end this epistle with assurance. He says, you are going into battle, but know that I am able to keep you from falling. Verse 24, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Oh, that is so great. He's telling us to go fight the battle and know that I am there. That's just complete assurance. If you're ever going to war, that would be great for someone to say, this war is ours. We already won it. Does that mean you just sit back and do nothing? It's already yours? No. You just have that much assurance to go and to fight. I mean, that's what we are to do. And so this is what the epistle is telling us, is that we are to fight. And let God's words be blessed. Amen.